This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Applications, details at merrillhurst.edu/KBOO.
Hello and welcome to the film show on KBOO. I'm Jen Chavez.
I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Natalie Buto, delighted to be reuniting with my film crew this month.
We have a full show for you today. Betty Marin will be joining us a little bit later. Betty is a graduate student with the Art and Social Practice Program at Portland State University, and she'll tell us about a curated screening of Latin American telenovelas at the Hollywood Theater. Also, we'll be taking a call from First Nations author Richard Van Camp. He'll talk about the film adaptation of his novel, The Lesser Blessed. But first, I'm joined in the studio by Sean and Christoph Whiteman, or the Whiteman brothers. Hey, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Welcome. They are the stars of the Northwest Film Center's upcoming Evening with the Whiteman Brothers this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Witzel Auditorium.
No, it's actually July 11th.
Oh, July 11th. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. No problem. So July 11th, is that a Sunday?
It's a Thursday.
A Thursday. Okay, Thursday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at the Witzel Auditorium. These guys have been collaborating for over a decade on several feature and many, many short comedy films, and they will sample a broad variety of their work at the screening. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So it seems as if the centerpiece of your screening is your third feature, The Disgusting Little Shiver.
It was kind of written up that way, but just kind of going to be a chunk of feature-length excerpts for part of it.
Oh, great. Yeah, well,
it'll probably be broken up into three chunks. There'll be our short film work with the 29 films in 29 days.
Great.
And then some like short film selections outside of that context. Mm-hmm. And then some feature excerpts.
Oh, and then some feature excerpts. So you will be excerpting Disgusting Little Shiver. Great.
Totally.
So this movie follows a guy, Toby, played by you, Christoph, mm-hmm. Diagnosed with the titular medical ailment. An excerpt of the film available online begins with another character apologizing about Toby's thing or whatever. Tell us a bit more about Toby's problem.
Yeah, I'd say that one was just, I was watching a lot of Joe versus the Volcano at the moment, actually. I don't know if you've seen that one, but at one point, Tom Hanks's character is diagnosed with a brain cloud. And it's just kind of, I loved how enigmatic this ailment was and how it could just kind of mean all sorts of different connotations. So I wrote this idea of
very
like a disgusting little shiver. Yeah, very vague, very foreboding. And yeah, Chris took on the role. So how did you interpret that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was Sean's brain child or brain cloud child. And yeah, I don't know. I wasn't given a lot of guidance. He's like, yeah, it's just this thing you got inside
of
you. It's something in there. I don't know. I think it's mostly sort of like in Joe versus the Volcano. I don't know. It's something to peg your like possible depression, anxiety, and
it's like an umbrella
on.
Sort of thing, like anything like you got that you aren't feeling so hot about.
All my
it's the shiver's
neutralized
fault.
Emotions,
yeah,
or the shiver's fault.
It was a nice, convenient metaphor that we could explore.
There you go. Yeah, metaphor filmmaking.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of that.
And also, I saw a preview for Childhood Machine, which I think you guys were doing a preview of there as well. Tell me a little bit about that feature. Is that your newest feature?
Yeah, that's this is an exciting one. It's been in the works for a few years. So it follows a young inventor, a young enigmatic inventor,
played by Christoph,
played by me.
So much enigma.
Oh yeah. When you have low budget filmmaking, you kind of have to ride on that enigma.
Ride on the beautiful question mark.
Ambiguity hides a lot of exactly.
His name is Childhood Machine, and he is working on a childhood machine. And along his way, he's a little misanthropic, but he still feels like he owes a debt to society and to others. So these other people with similarly absurd quandaries and problems come to him for advice, yeah. and he takes time away from
the reluctant
busy schedule.
Helper. Yeah. I play a character who was raised on season one of Roseanne, so like I grow to emulate Dan Connor's character, and I just desperately try to distill
one.
Only season one. Yeah, it was only the VHS tapes of season one that he was raised with. So
he is the essence of goodness.
Yeah, that's my character's name. We're all given titles of our pursuits. That's Childhood Machine's way of kind of letting you know that you have to live up to this pursuit. You have to achieve it, otherwise, you know, your name will be a curse. Yeah.
Great. Well, look forward to both of those. In addition to your features, you guys have been rather prolific in short filmmaking. One particularly interesting series you did that you'll be sampling from is 29 Films in 29 Days, which you completed twice for a grand total of nearly 60. How did that go?
Oh, man.
Oh.
The first one was pretty rough. It was 2008. We just got to town. We were crashing on our friend's floor. Like, it wasn't our house, wasn't our apartment. And so it was kind of a lot just to ask of our host to, like, hey, do you mind if we shoot something every day in your house and tell you to be quiet?
Keep it down for 3 hours in your own
exactly,
home.
Exactly, yeah. And we didn't have ideas, really, because it's like day by day. We had day jobs. So you come home from work and we just kind of stare at each other like, you have an idea?
No. How about you?
No.
Okay. Ooh, let's do this.
Sweet.
Thing.
Let's think of something. Yeah. So it was really rough 2008. 2012, we kind of refined it a little bit. I mean, it's still terribly annoying. You know, 4 days in, you're like, oh, dang, every day.
Yeah. We had more of a game plan, which is not to say we had written any of them, but I don't know. We went into it a lot more confidently, and it was like made in the middle of making Childhood Machine, so it was a fun break from that.
It kind of was. It's a lot more goofy. It's just kind of relying on like banter and just being goofballs, which is a lot more relaxing than trying to like complete a feature.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, that sounds nice, and I will say I watched the whole thing in one sitting, and it was really terrific. So you guys can check it out at WhiteManBrothers.com, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome. So on your website, as an introduction to the 2012 short films, you kind of dryly mock the sort of comment you must get often, which I will read. Funny videos from the funny video brothers, say. So you guys think you're real funny guys by making all these quote-unquote funny videos, eh? Hopefully that was pretty accurate. In another spot, you talk about how constantly people ask you why you aren't ever real, man. obviously, your films are comedies, but do you ever find yourself like pigeonholed as the funny video brothers in a negative way? And how has that influenced your relationship with comedy, if so?
That's a good question, I like that.
Well, I don't know. I'd say we're probably our biggest fans, and we're dang near our only fans.
Yeah.
So if there's pigeonholing, it's probably from ourselves.
Exactly. It does necessitate an audience to get thoroughly pigeonholed. So we're doing okay. But yeah, I'd say that, I mean, it's just kind of our natural inclination is to mock like everything, not just like to be satirical of current events. It's just like, hey, coffee, let's make fun of coffee. I don't know where that comes from, but
I think it almost comes from, or at least I sort of BS'd this in a thesis class, like saying that you know, if you mock everything, then everything's equal.
Yeah, that's a good enough sort of mantra.
It's
a
pursuit for equality.
You know, I believe that.
It's noble. I like that.
Well, you know, regardless of their seriousness or not, they're all really, really well put together. And I wanted to tell you guys the cinematography I found to be really, really good.
What?
Yeah, I thought it was
that's
good.
A first.
I thought it was good.
What time is it? What day is it?
It's
historic. I love it.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys switch off being like DP, or does one or the other of you do?
Definitely switch off. Whoever's in the shot isn't the DP for that shot.
And if we're both in the shot, then it's like us just kind of biting our nails at the screen and like taking turns being in the shot while we set it on a tripod.
Yeah. We have had much help from like housemates and family members and everything throughout the years. We haven't, you know, we don't have a car. So, you know, we're always hitting people up for rides and, hey, could you hold a camera for like a half hour real quick? Those sort of requests are pretty common in our house.
Yeah.
And you do have another brother, I think, right? Jesse?
Jesse, yeah.
He popped up in the 29 Films, 29 Days.
We always coerce him into popping up into things. He's really funny, but it takes some doing to convince him.
Nice. Well, all right. You are the Whiteman brothers, including Jesse, who's not here today. But I look forward to your new film. I hope our listeners are excited about your screening. Why don't you give the information about the screening? Because apparently
I don't know very well.
If you want to just give that one more time.
Absolutely. It's at the Northwest Film Center, which shows their films in the Portland Art Museum. It's going to be July 11th, 7 p.m.
All right. You can find more info about the screening on nwfilm.org and more info about these dudes at whitemanbrothers.com. Again, my guests have been Sean and Christoph Whiteman. Thank you both very much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Great. And now we'll be going to Conch with a First Nations author, Richard Van Camp, on the line for a phone interview. Richard's here to talk with Conch about a very important film that's coming to town, The Lesser Blessed. Take it away, Conch.
Thanks. Yes, this is SW Conser with the film show. And I am on the line currently with author Richard Van Camp, who's calling in from Edmonton, Alberta. He is the author of the book, The Lesser Blessed, which has been adapted into a feature film. One of the stars is Benjamin Bratt, and it will be coming to the Clinton Street Theater in Portland on July 12th. Richard Van de Camp, welcome to the film show.
Thanks, Hunch.
So I have seen this film, The Lesser Blessed, and what word would you use to describe this? I'm thinking maybe hypnotic, intense, but not without some dark humor. It's definitely a coming-of-age story set, as the Canadians say, north of 60 in the Northwest Territories of Canada.
Well, if I could sum it up, the novel and the movie, I think, are epic. But maybe we should just back up just a little bit. And let me just say, Musi Cho, thank you so much for having me on KBOO Radio. I'm delighted to be back.
We are honored as well.
Oh, thank you. So, in 1996, the novel The Lesser Blessed came out, and it took me 5 years to write. I grew up very much a product of the Northwest Territories. My grandparents were medicine people. My parents were taxidermists. Fort Smith is a very small community in the Northwest Territories. It's 2,500 people. It's officially quadrilingual, and what that means is Chipewyan, Cree, French, and English are spoken at any given time. And I grew up a child of the 80s. It was a wonderful time to be alive. And I've always loved to read. I love Judy Blum and Essie Hinton and comic books and Mike Grell's The Warlord and Stephen King. I love Stephen King. And I just realized when I was growing up that nobody was writing about the Northwest Territories. So I said, you know what? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to talk about what really goes on up here. I'm going to talk about the hickeys and how we can two-step to anything and the romance and the northern lights and we ride our skidoos to high school. And, you know, I didn't know that I'd be the first member of my nation, the Dog Group Dene, to ever publish a novel. All I knew was I was working on something that was thrilling to write. I couldn't wait to get back and read it. And then 7 years ago, I received an email from Anita Doran, the director, and she said, Richard Van Camp, I've just finished reading your novel, and I want to turn it into a movie. And, of course, I said yes. It took us 7 years. I'm so thrilled it's coming to Portland. It's a love story. It's a confession. There's a love triangle. And I'm over the moon. I mean, I burst into tears every time I see it. And I've never been to Portland. I hear it is paradise. I'd love to be there when it shows, but unfortunately I can't. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. I mean, nowhere to lie, I cry every time I see it.
Yes, the main character, Larry Sole, it's spelled S-O-L-E, but he's a very soulful character. He's like a poet. Even though he's a big fan of heavy metal and goth music, he's mixing it all together with the mythology of the First Nations people, the band that he comes from, the tribe that he comes from.
That's right. Yeah, he's a great storyteller, and Joel just nails it every single time. We went to 5 communities in 6 days. We auditioned over 120 youth, and we found the star, Mr. Joel Evans, from my hometown. He was going to my old high school. 16 years old, he had no idea we were auditioning for a major feature film, and the director, Anita Dorn, and the casting agent, Jason Knight, they saw him walking to the gymnasium to write a exam, a math exam. And they just grabbed him, and they got him to read the monologue card that they'd handed out to all the youth, and he nailed it. And the next thing he knew, he was flying to Toronto to meet with the producers. And then so we secured Chloe Rose from Degrassi Junior High, and a great actor named Adam Butcher, who plays the bully Darcy McManus. We secured Kyla Gordon from Twilight. He plays the sexy wolf. We call him the sexy wolf. Four movies, he doesn't wear a shirt. Gorgeous nipples, if I could just say.
Now, Kiowa, he is from the Hualapai Nation in Arizona, is that correct?
Yes, he is.
And Benjamin Bratt plays the boyfriend of Larry's mom, so he's wanting to be a father figure.
Oh, he is, very much. And the character's name is Jed, and he just nails exactly what I envisioned Jed would be: loving, concerned. There's a history between he and Verna. Larry wants him to get married so badly. He's just aching to have a father. And actually, one of the most touching moments of the movie for me is there's a scene where Larry tries on his cap when Jed is not in the room, and that just gets me every single time. So there's a lot of touches in the movie that were never in the novel.
Well, Richard Van Camp, author of The Lesser Blessed, thank you for joining us from Edmonton, Canada, to talk about the film version of your book that will be playing at the Clinton Street Theatre in Portland on July 12th.
Oh, Masi Cho, thank you so very much for having me. I'm just over the moon. Masi.
And now back to Jen and Natalie. You're listening to The Film Show. I'm S.W. Conser. Okay, so.
Good morning. This is Natalie Buteau with a cameo guest appearance on The Film Show. Delighted to be here back with Conch and with Jen. And today we are talking with Betty Marin, who is with the PSU Social Practice MFA Residency Program, who's doing a film screening at the Hollywood Theater. So perhaps when you've been watching TV and you've been switching channels, you've come across a show in which everything becomes a little bit more dramatic. The voices are deeper, and it sometimes can be quite captivating. And that, in fact, might have been a telenovela. A wonderful way to entertain oneself, educate, and even though they might seem campy, they might seem over the top, in fact, they might be an opportunity for education and for raising social awareness. And Betty's going to tell us about that opportunity. Welcome, Betty.
Thank you. I'm holding an event called Tell Me Novela or Cuéntame Novela. It's going to be a bilingual screening of a popular telenovela called Por Ella Soy Eva. That just won the Best Telenovela of 2013 by TV Novelas, the popular novela magazine. And the event is intended to show a telenovela, but also have a conversation about the themes of the novela: sexism, homophobia, relationships in general, labor issues, and have people kind of reflect on how telenovelas represent or don't represent their own lives and maybe how they resolve the problems that are being depicted there.
Now, this is part of PSU Social Practice MFA, which is a unique program, right? Interdisciplinary, and allows students the chance to be creative. So how did you choose telenovelas as a theme and this particular telenovela?
Yeah. So my interest in the program lie a lot around issues of immigration and the Spanish-speaking immigrant population in Portland. My background is, I am a child of Mexican immigrant parents. So I'm interested in social issues around immigration and also exchanges between immigrant populations and also more mainstream populations in a city like Portland. And I chose telenovelas because they're such a popular cultural form. Like, so many people watch them, including my mom, who I've watched many telenovelas with. And I wanted to use that popular form as a way to have deeper conversations about issues that impact us.
And for those who may not know, telenovelas are, you know, essentially Latin soap operas, although a little bit different in the sense that they actually have a more limited time frame, right? So maybe a certain amount of months or a year, as opposed to American soap operas, which go on and on.
Right.
So maybe it's a little bit more satisfaction in the telenovelas story.
Somebody gets married at the end. You can probably always, you know, get that guaranteed.
And so with this one, Por Ella Soy Eva, so you were saying that when you were back home, you were watching this with your mom, you told me earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom is an avid novela watcher. She was watching four different ones, and this was one of them. And it was usually on during dinner. So I was watching it with her and noticing that it seemed a lot more intentional in talking about some of these themes. There was an overtly kind of different male sexist characters, and the central character Lucero is a single mother who challenged her sexist father, and including this other character. And there was a group of women who were unjustly fired from work, and they protested. And there was also a gay character who was coming out to his parents and kind of working through that. And my mom was just sharing how she felt like the novela was trying to talk about and teach about these issues in a way that she hadn't necessarily noticed in other novelas. And so I became more interested in this one in particular.
Not necessarily what people may think of when they think about traditional Latin telenovelas, right? You know, so even in this genre becoming maybe a little bit more progressive or open.
Yeah, and I'm the first to say that it is, these novelas have been very problematic historically, and they continue to be, and in many ways reproducing racism and classism in Latin America. And so I think they're definitely limiting in a lot of ways, but I'm interested in them because people are watching them anyway. And rather than ignoring them, I feel like they're an opportunity to dig a little deeper into how people are processing them and how they can actually use them to think critically about their own lives.
So this Sunday will be an opportunity to talk about some of those issues, right? In a bilingual form.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be all bilingual. Still working out the exact format of the bilingualness. I have a background in interpreting, and also I have some friends and colleagues who do that. And there'll probably also be some discussion, but also some more kind of interactive activities relating to theater and kind of recreating some of the scenes in the novela.
And this will be the first of a series of screenings, right, for PSU at the Hollywood Theater.
Yeah, we've had other students do more one-time events with the theater, but this is the first time where we're kind of trying out a more formal residency. So this is the first of this residency, and then Travis Neal and Erica Thomas, other students in the program, are going to be doing another two other screenings coming up during the summer. So one in July, and then another in August. And Travis is around conflict theater, so screening films that are coming from countries that the U.S. is in conflict with, that's inspired by another artwork called Conflict Kitchen. And Erica Thomas is doing participatory screenings with other filmmakers as well.
So you're coming up on your third and last year of the program. How do you see bringing together your interest in immigration and the arts, and how would you craft your own telenovela? Your own life.
This program has really given me an opportunity to bring in my background as an educator and as a person working with organizations, and also my interest in like visual art forms, to create like spaces of conversation and spaces of learning. So I want to continue to partner with different immigrant rights organizations in Portland, like the Day Labor Center and the Farm Worker Union out in Woodburn, and collaborate with them on a series of projects that are sort of addressing their goals, but particularly trying to link their goals to a more mainstream population in Portland who may or may not be thinking about the struggles of day laborers or the struggles of farm workers on a daily basis.
Excellent. Well, join us this Sunday, Betty Marin and other folks from the PSU Social Practice MFA program at the Hollywood Theater at 7 p.m. for a screening of Por Ella Soy Eva and a bilingual interactive discussion, and the program is free.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we will just give you a pretty quick rundown of some upcoming film events over the course of the next month in the Portland area. The Portland Jewish Film Festival continues tonight through Sunday, June 30th at the Northwest Film Center, with six films yet to be screened coming from Israel, Europe, and the U.S. For details, go to nwfilm.org/festivals/Jewish Festival.
And tonight, the 27th, Portland Parks and Rec begins its free summer-long Movies in the Park series with Madagascar 3 at Peninsula Park at dusk. Dozens more screenings, generally family-friendly, will take place at parks around Portland throughout early September. For a list, go to portlandoregon.gov/parks and click on Summer Free-for-All.
Also tonight at the Clinton Street Theater, AIGA Portland presents the documentary Just Like Being There, which explores the history and current state of gig posters. The event, which begins at 7, also features a poster show, music, and a question and answer session with director Scout Shannon and Portland and Seattle illustrators. Go to cstpdx.com to learn more.
Tomorrow night, the 28th, the Hollywood Theater begins its run of How to Make Money Selling Drugs, a documentary examining the drug industry and the war on drugs. For showtimes and more info, go to hollywoodtheater.org.
Also tomorrow night, the 28th, one of our past guests, Jackie Weissman, is screening her documentary Rock and Roll Mamas at the Film Center at 7, and will be in attendance for a Q&A after the film. You can find our show featuring Jackie discussing her film from February of this year archived on our website, kboo.fm/thefilmshow, and more info about the screening at nwfilm.org.
Speaking of past film show guests, on July 1st, Women in Film Portland will present a special evening with Joanna Priestley at 7 p.m. at Magnolia's Corner on Northeast Sandy Boulevard. The award-winning animator will be there for a lecture and discussion. Free for members of Women in Film, see wifpdx.org for details.
This summer, beginning on July 6th, the Hollywood Theater will co-present the outdoor screening series Brew Masterpiece Theater. The free screenings take place in front of Burnside Brewing, which will serve original craft beers inspired by the films. On July 6th, a screening of Raiders of the Lost Ark will begin at dusk. To learn more, go to hollywoodtheater.org.
On July 9th, the Clinton Street Theater continues its monthly Women's Edge film series at 7 p.m. with the documentary The Grace Lee Project. Visit cstpdx.com to learn more.
The annual touring exhibition Global Lens begins on July 10th and continues throughout the summer at the Northwest Film Center. They'll feature 10 international films made in countries with developing film communities. The first film is Beijing Flickers from China at 7 p.m. on the 10th. For the complete schedule, including four more July screenings, go to nwfilm.org.
On July 11th, the Hollywood Theater's Portland Ecofilm Festival continues with the documentary More Than Honey, focusing on the endangerment of bees, at 7 p.m. on the 11th. Learn more at hollywoodtheater.org.
Also on the 11th, the monthly KBOO at the Clinton Film Series continues at 7 with the music documentary Theremin, An Electronic Odyssey. Visit cstpdx.com or our website kboo.fm for more info.
The Summer Institute for Intercultural Communication, taking place in Portland throughout July, will present a screening and discussion on July 11th of the documentary Live Your Dream, The Taylor Anderson Story, at 7 p.m. at Reed College. It follows an English teacher in Japan during the 2011 earthquake and tsunami. For more information, visit intercultural.org.
Well, that about wraps it up for the film calendar and for the film show on KBOO. I'm Jen Chavez.
I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Natalie Buto.
Thanks to all our guests today. The Whiteman brothers will be hosting a retrospective of their short works at the Northwest Film Center on the 11th of July. And the film adaptation of Richard Van Camp's novel, The Lesser Blessed, will be screening at the Clinton Street Theater on July 12th.
Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for this show will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow.
And stay tuned now for an afternoon of music from your homegrown Portland radio station, KBOO.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, June 27th. Al Jazeera reports that the European Union reached a $1.3 trillion budget agreement after a year of infighting between member countries. The budget still needs to be approved by Parliament. The deal arrived only one day before a scheduled summit in Brussels to focus on unemployed youth in the Union. In Texas yesterday, Governor Rick Perry has called a second special session of Congress. The news comes after the historic filibuster by Democratic Senator Wendy Davis, which shut down the Senate vote Tuesday night. Today, Perry addressed the National Right to Life Conference, slamming Senator Davis for not knowing better. Perry said that Davis, who was raised by a single parent in a trailer park and a teen mother herself, should know that children born into the worst of circumstances can make the best of their lives. A new immigration bill swept the Senate with a bipartisan vote today. The new bill will heighten security on the border, adding patrol agents and fence line. However,